Chapter 6. Back at Zach's, Zach and Will set their sights on Zach's house. Before they made a move, the two of them peeked outside to look out for any unwanted visitors.
"Looks like the coast is clear,"
Will proclaimed, inching his foot to start towards the house.
"Yeah, well, I've been duped before,"
Zach replied, following loosely behind Will. A heavy fog set in on the streets of Middleton, nearly rising high enough to only see the streetlights come through. The town was cast with a dense gray sky and a chill factor no human could bear to stand. Zach and Will snuck through Zach's backyard, keeping a close eye out for any drones, or zombies as Zach likes to call them.
"This way,"
Zach whispered, ushering Will to follow behind him. As the two quietly made their way to the shed in the backyard, a pair of devilish eyes kept a close watch, unbeknownst to Zach and Will. Will tiptoed and stepped over everything he could see on the ground, not paying any attention to the rest of his surroundings. He crashed into a shovel left on the floor, nearly falling.
"Shh!"
Zach shouted intensely. Will looked at him with a dumbfounded expression on his face.
"So sorry. Maybe if you guys cleaned up once in a while,"
Will said, dusting himself off. Zach looked everywhere around the shed.
"What are you looking for?"
Will asked.
"Batteries,"
Zach answered without thinking another second.
"Wouldn't they be, oh, I don't know, in the camera?"
Will snarled.
"Oh, wow. Brilliant thinking, genius. Like I hadn't thought of that,"
Zach shot back, the two practically nose to nose.
"I'm just saying, you really think batteries are going to do the trick?" "Miss Lippenstein said she got in through some sort of portal in the camera."
"A portal in the camera? Are you listening to yourself?"
"I'm trying, but I can't hear myself over all of your—"
Before Zach could reply, something had occurred to him that he hadn't thought of before. He looked over and noticed a mirror standing upright in the corner.
"That's it,"
Zach shouted, standing up straight with his index finger pointed straight up.
"Shh, what's it?"
Will whispered, cowering, ushering for Zach to keep his voice down as not to alert any unwanted guests.
"Microwaves,"
Zach replied.
"Microwaves? Like stuff to cook chowder in?"
"Yes," Zach answered with exhaustion.
"What does microwaves have to do with all of this?"
Will asked. Zach never got the chance to answer. An alarming noise from the outside drew their attention.
"We gotta move,"
Zach instructed, moving past Will quickly, grabbing the camera and sneaking out as quiet as possible.
"Okay, it's clear."
Back at the school, a purple and gooey green light polluted the air above. Zach and Will slickly made their way to the back of the school, careful not to be seen by the awaiting horde of townsfolks surrounding the front entrance. When Zach and Will slipped through an open window, they instantly smelt a foul odor. It smelled like a cross between old gym socks and broccoli, two of Zach's least favorite things. Ignoring the odor as best they could, a glimmering yellow light reflecting from under the gym doors caught their attention.
"Look, over there,"
Will pointed out to Zach,
who then noticed the light himself. It appeared to be generating from something. Zack and Will started to approach the door, until Zack had decided they needed to find a better way to observe what was causing the light, just in case it was a trap or something. Ugh, it smells like stinky fish in here, Will complained, as he crawled behind Zack through the school's air vents. Zack ignored his complaint, instead shushing him to stay quiet. As they came upon the gym, a loud booming noise and some sort of electric shockwave echoed. Zack couldn't believe his eyes. When he peered through the small lining of the vents, a bright yellow aura and the striking of lightning coursed through the gymnasium, with Miss Lippenstein and the rest of her followers surrounding it, like as though worshipping it. "What is that?" Will asked, as he peered over Zack's shoulder looking through the vents. Zack tried to look closer. "I don't know. Some kind of electromagnetic storm?" "Electro what?" "It's when electric activity..." Zack trailed off of his explanation, noticing that Will was staring at him with a very confused expression. This had clearly gone over his head. "Never mind." The two continued to watch as the magnetic energy had begun to resemble a tornado of sorts, gaining more power. "Mom! Dad!" Zack uttered under his breath. "Sophie!" Zack saw his family and friends, noticing they were in the crowd near the storm and seemed to be under some sort of spell. Millie, tied to a post. Will panicked, hyperventilating and getting frustrated. "What do we do now? I can't think with you all up in my ear," Zack replied, frustrated.
"Please do join us,"
Miss Lippenstein called out. Zack and Will looked down through the vents. Miss Lippenstein was now in eyesight as she was facing up, looking towards the boys. "How did she..." Will asked, but was interrupted by Miss Lippenstein.
"I could hear you boys coming from a mile away. After all, I've been keeping a close eye on you since the other night."
With a snap of her fingers, Zack and Will crashed through the vent and onto the gym floor. Immediately, they were helped up by less than friendly drones holding them captive.
"Hello, children. Have a good trip."
Miss Lippenstein chuckled, intertwining her fingers maliciously. She inched closer to the boys, leaning in as if to reveal a secret.
"So glad you could join us."
Zack and Will tried desperately to spring free, but the strength of the drones proved too much for the pair. "Why are you doing this?" Zack pleaded, squirming, trying his best to get free.
"One night, I stayed late to grade some papers, which between you and I was atrocious on its own. I mean, I tell you, the amount of times kids say, lake, I will never understand. When I was leaving that night, a few kids thought it would be funny to pull a prank."
"What'd they do?" Zack asked, curious.
"I was locking up when suddenly some kid snuck up behind me and threw a bag over my head and started wrapping me in toilet paper."
Will started to chuckle. Miss Lippenstein flew across the floor with the devil in her eyes, peering deep into his, snarling. Will cleared his throat and stopped laughing.
Like I was saying, all I could hear was some kids laughing and running and shouting. Happy Halloween, Miss Lippenstein! I tripped over one of those roller skates and fell down a flight of stairs.
That really sucks, Zach said. He had actually started to feel pain Lippenstein had been caused. I'm really sorry that happened. But those kids are probably long gone in some other town by now.
That's where you're wrong.
Miss Lippenstein growled. She peered over at Zach and Sophie's parents, pointing with her bony finger. Zach had taken notice. His eyes grew to the size of the moon. No way! He exclaimed. My parents? But they're so boring. They watch the news. Sophie's parents are like scientists or something. No way they could do something like that. Miss Lippenstein made her way to Zach's parents, malevolently whisking herself around them as she told the two boys a story. She painted a haunting tale of a schoolteacher that, though may have been strict, only wanted to help children be better, and met her end because kids couldn't handle a little extra credit. As Lippenstein told her tale, Will looked over at Sophie and repeatedly tried to get her attention, trying not to alert the ghoul. Zach noticed Will's attempts and tried his best to keep Miss Lippenstein distracted. After a few failed attempts, Will looked around, trying to figure out a backup plan. Miss Lippenstein lured townsfolk, one by one, into the vortex storm. Zach and Will knew they didn't have much time before she sent their parents, or worse, them, into that same vortex. Thinking relatively quick on his feet, Zach stomped on one of the drone's foot, causing instant pain, releasing Zach from their grip. He ran over to untie Millie. Will followed after, freeing himself. The two boys ran over, shaking each and every one of the townspeople, attempting to wake them from their trance. It's not working! Will shouted. Keep trying! Zach replied, shaking his mom and dad viciously. Zach continued to shake his parents, but all they could do was march towards the vortex. Millie pulled and pulled on Sophie's pant leg, attempting the same effect.
It's too late. At midnight tonight, the whole town will be mine!
Miss Lippenstein proclaimed. Drones continued towards the vortex, vanishing upon entrance. Coming out the other side changed into perfect. Oh no! Zach responded. There's gotta be... Zach trailed off, thinking back to what he said in the shed at his house. Microwaves. Zach uttered to himself. Zach looked to Will. Hey, you still have your pocket mirror? Of course, Will replied confidently. When I say now, you flash it at Lippenstein. Zach strolled over to Miss Lippenstein. Hey, Lippenstink! Zach called out,
in a very juvenile tone.
Aren't you forgetting something?
Miss Lippenstein casually paid him no attention.
And what would that be?
Burning fire rain of death.
Burning what?
Now!
Will whipped his pocket mirror out like he was the MVP of the game, shining it right at Miss Lippenstein's face, causing her to be temporarily blinded and fall backwards. Zack reached into his back pocket and pulled out his favorite thing, the TV remote. He reached into his other pocket and pulled out a golden set of batteries, extending his arm high in the sky.
What are you doing?
Will asked. I was just... Yeah, I figured it was a perfect time. Never mind.
Zack loaded the remote and pointed it directly at Miss Lippenstein, pressing the back button firmly.
Zack's efforts made no difference, as it appeared, as you could have guessed, Miss Lippenstein was not affected by the rays of the TV remote, considering it was just a TV remote.
That was your plan?
Will called to Zack. It was clear he was more than less impressed with that idea.
I mean, I didn't really have time to think it through. Not like this is a movie.
Zack responded.
I don't know what to do.
That was entertaining, to say the least, children. Now, it's your turn.
Miss Lippenstein said, using her magic to drag both Zack and Will towards the vortex. All had seemed lost. Zack felt his chances slipping through his fingers as he watched his parents and Sophie enter the vortex. He looked back for a glimpse of hope, and in that very moment, his eyes met with Millie's. Her big, yellow, loving eyes. She stood there in the back, flushed with sadness, as she watched her family transform. Zack smiled at her. He knew that his smile didn't disguise his fear. And Millie knew. Zack closed his eyes and uttered to himself that he believes everything will be all right. Millie barked at Lippenstein. She then started towards her as fast as her four little legs would get her.
Millie, no!
Zack shouted, causing Miss Lippenstein to turn around, shrieking in horror. Millie leapt with all her might, landing on Lippenstein's chest, causing her to fall backwards into the vortex. She grabbed onto Millie and pulled her in with her. A big explosion echoing the gym, sparks flying everywhere.
No!
Zack screamed out. He fell to his knees, staring at the now vanished abyss where the vortex was. Everyone else began to shake their trances, hugging and comforting one another. Zack's parents approached, hugging him tightly and being thankful he's okay. Zack returned the gesture, but he couldn't help but fixate on Millie. Sophie rushed over to hug Zack, the two exchanging words of reassurance and comfort, Will not too far from them. The next day, Zack sat on a park bench with Millie's favorite blanket crumpled up in his hands. Hey, Mills. I don't know if you can hear me. I woke up today and looked over at your bed. You weren't there. Again. I want you to know that I miss you. And I hate you for what you did. For saving my life. For saving everyone's life. And I love you because you're my best friend. And I don't know how I'm supposed to act now. How am I supposed to be without you? I want you to know I'll never stop looking for you. I will get you back. I promise you. I will find you. If it's the very last thing that I do. Zach sat there for another moment, wiping away tears. After a few seconds, he stood up and started back towards the house. As he approached his house, he felt a tug on the blanket. He looked down immediately, but nothing was there. Is anyone there? He called out, looking around. No one answered. At least, that he could see. Hey everybody. I want to thank you guys for sticking with us through this weekly process, and I know it's been a few weeks or more since episode 4 came out, so I'm glad you guys stuck around for chapters 5 and chapter 6, the series finale. I've had a lot of fun writing the show. I think there's tremendous amount of story to keep going, but nothing is as of yet of a continuance, so we shall see. I know that was a bit of a tearjerker, heartbreaker at the end, and you're probably saying, why? Why would you do that? And as anyone that knows me knows that I am a huge animal lover and that I've always believed that animals will sacrifice the ultimate for us, unlike humans usually. And Millie is a real dog. She is also my dog. And she is one of the best things in my life. And I know that if it was me in a dire situation, she would go to the ends of the earth to protect me. So when I started writing this, I thought, you know, we always see the best friend as a girl or a boy or something like that, but we don't rarely see it as the dog, except for if you're talking about Shaggy and Scooby. But in this case, I wanted it to really show that although Sophie was mentioned a lot more, Millie has always been his best friend, always been there for him through the good times and the bad. So I don't know where Millie is. Hopefully she's in a better place. We'll just have to wait and see. On the other end, season 2 of Eerie Tales from the Darkness podcast is now available, episode 1. So please head on over to that channel and catch up on all things eerie.